A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. It's a Wednesday morning, the 9th of the 7th month. So we are right in the middle of the week. And our time is 34 minutes past the hour of 7. So good morning to you wherever you find yourself this morning. And if you are on your way to work, a very good morning to you, and please do drive safe and make sure that there are other, you know, road users on the road with you. Make sure that you, you know, you take care of yourself and also those with you by making sure that you follow the, you know, the traffic regulations, and make sure that you buckle up as well, and also take care of also those who are on the road as well. So good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. And this is your number one talk radio station in the land. And thanks for making us your number one choice, this morning. So we thank, David, for the early morning scoop, making sure that we woke up on those, early, update and news that is happening in and around the country. And now let's definitely go ahead in the same breath as well. So, well, this is Unpacking the Day. My name is Michael Chiavelli, and you are tuned into Unpacking at the Day, the show where we dive deep into the stories, events, and issues that shape our world. So this show is all about breaking down the headline, exploring the context behind the news, and understanding how it impacts our lives. Whether it is the latest development in politics, business, culture, or social issues, we're here to make sense of it all together. So, but it's not just about talking. It's not just about us talking. It's about you as well. Share your thoughts, your opinion, and perspective on the topics that matter most to you. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you, and I welcome you to Unpacking the Day. I will be with you until the hour of 9:30, and we're coming to you every morning from Monday to Friday, every morning from 7:30 to 9:30. So, and the first thing on the program is looking at what happened on this day in Africa. So today is the 9th of July, and in July 9th in 1962, Burundi officially declared independence from Belgium, marking a transformative step in the decolonization of Central Africa and the nation's shift down toward self-rule. On the very same day, the 9th of July in 1971, Nigeria became the first African country to join the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, cementing its position as a major player in the global oil market. And on the very same day, the 9th of July, that's in 1991, South Africa, after 27 years of exclusion due to apartheid, South Africa was readmitted to the International Olympic Committee, signaling a critical step in the country's reintegration into the global sporting community. And on the very same day, July the 9th in 1915, that's during World War One, the Union of South Africa's forces accepted the surrender of German troops in what is now Namibia, beginning a regime that lasted until Namibia's independence in 1990. So, and on the very same day, on the 9th of July, 2002, the AU officially replaced the Organization of African Unity at its inaugural summit in Durban, with Thabo Mbeki serving as the first chair, and the AU would become instrumental in promoting collective continental goals. And also, on the 9th of July, July the 9th, 2011, the South Sudan became the world's newest nation after a referendum, making the culmination of decades of civil war and establishing itself as an independent state. So, well, that's what happened on this day. Those are some of the significant events that took place in the history of Africa. So, and today, Wednesday, July the 9th, the thought for the day. So our thought for the day is: success is a ladder that cannot be climbed with hands in your pocket. Success is a ladder. It's a ladder that cannot be climbed with hands in your pocket. So the proverb teaches that just as you cannot ascend a ladder without using your hands, you cannot reach success by staying idle or passive. So doing nothing won't get you anywhere. So it is not enough to dream or plan. You must move, work, face challenges. So whether it's studying, building skills that you acquire for yourself, or growing a project, every action is a rung on that ladder. So you can't succeed without actively doing. You must take each step intentionally and work for it. So that's is our thought of the day. And when you see somebody maybe lazing around during working time, or just at home doing nothing, you know, and you maybe you just tell him, you know, use that proverb today to someone, where you would say, well, my friend, success is a ladder that cannot be climbed with hands in your pocket. You got to do something if you want to be successful. So hope that would help you in the decisions and the choices you make today. All right. So our time has about 42 minutes past the hour of 7. And thank you for joining us. If you just tune in, this is Unpacking the Day. So, and well, stay tuned to Eagle FM. Stay connected with Eagle FM. So wherever you are, you can listen to Eagle FM. Whether you do that through our website, or you can also do that through Eagle FM mobile app. If you find your place, if you find yourself where there is no, where there's the frequency cannot be heard, make sure that you download your Eagle FM mobile app, mobile app that you can download from your Google Play or from Play Store, and you will be able to listen to your favorite shows and many other features that you can find on that Eagle FM mobile app. So also make sure that you do follow Eagle FM and The Villager on our social platforms, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, Telegram, and WhatsApp channel. So please do engage us and on those social media platform, and make sure that you leave a like or a comment or that life sign. Follow us. So, and if you're looking for the latest business and economic news, get yourself a free copy of The Villager, which is published every Monday. And today's one is already out. So every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So, what you need to do is just simply sending a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And well, if you're a business person and you want to advertise your business, or maybe not, or you just have, or you just want to have your event or your functions or your workshop or conference advertised or exposed via live streaming and broadcasting. So please make sure that you reach our office. So at 083 at 2888 400s. 083 2888 400s. And definitely, you will greet it with a smile. All right. Good morning and welcome to your number one talk radio station. This is Eagle FM. So tune in, stay tuned. As we come back, we get into our what we have for you this morning.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the
eye. Yes, you are tuned into Eagle FM, and this is Unpacking the Day with me, Michael Chiavelli. All right, so welcome. Our time is about 48 minutes past the hour of 7. By 8 o'clock, I will actually, you know, have someone, I will be talking to someone. And today we're looking at the visa on arrival. So these few days we had actually more than two people talking about, complaining about the delays and the new system. So on April the 1st, 2025, Namibia introduced a new visa, a new visa on arrival, and the e-visa system, requiring nationals from 33 countries, including the United States, Canada, and several European nations to obtain visas for entry. Now, previously, these countries enjoyed visa-free access, but the policy shifted, driven by the principle of that principle of reciprocity, the reciprocity. So you do me, I do you. That kind of reciprocity. So respond to visa requirement imposed on the Namibian citizen by this nation. So we say you do me, we do you too. So now the Minister of Home Affairs Minister of Home Affairs, what is the whole ministry? Minister of Home Affairs, Immigration, Safety, and what is the other? Security. So the Ministry of Home Affairs, Immigration, Safety and Security reports that the system has welcomed over 70,000 visitors and generate 100 million in revenue within those 3 or 4 months now, with efficient processing time of 19 to 23, according to the ministry, 19 to 23 seconds per traveler at Hosea Kutako International, according to the ministry. So after 3 months of the policy enforcement, we wanted now to evaluate and explore issues that have been raised by stakeholders, well, in the context of Namibia's economy and international relationship when we're talking about reciprocity. So now, well, I will be talking to some of the stakeholders, especially the tour operators, just to give us what is happening on the ground, after the implementation of this, of the system, for 3 months now. And, contact yesterday, sent him WhatsApp message and calling him. You know, phone is just ringing. Maybe he's not in the country. So Mr. Maretz, the executive director of the Ministry of Home Affairs. We would like to have now their evaluation of the system so far, because there have been a couple of complaining, and well, we're not gonna give up, so we will probably try again to get his opinion and to tell us how it is going so far. Now, before I go to my guest this morning, so let me just, you know, give you a little bit of a background to this and where we are in terms of that. Put you into perspective, so that you, maybe you haven't followed this and all that, just so that you understand, where we are in terms of this. So this new visa policy, it targeted 33 countries. So including Armenia, Australia, Austria, Belgium, Canada, France, Germany, Japan, the United Kingdom, the United States, among others. All right. So the government rationale is rooted in, as I see, in the idea of you do me, I do you, the reciprocity. So Namibia faces, when we travel, we face a stringent visa requirement, such as the surgeon's visa is 90 euro fee and extensive documentation that you have to submit when traveling to these countries. And Namibia said, well, as you said, well, we got to do the very same thing that you put us through. So imposing now similar requirements, and Namibia aims now to ensure a fair treatment. Okay. That's the whole idea. So we want a fair treatment. fair treatment and strengthen also our diplomatic position as well. So now the system allows travelers to apply for visas online and or upon arrival. So online or upon arrival at the major entry points like Hoseaku Tako International Airport and also Wavish Bay. So with the fees is around 1,600, that approximately $90 US. For this is now for non-African nationals and 1,200 for African Union citizens. So if you are from Africa, at least your price it's cut, you know, with only 200. That's quite, that's not much. Should have been, you know, we shouldn't be paying at all. We should be traveling for free, man. So we're coming and bringing money. All right. So now that's, and then children under six are exempted. And those age six and 11 receive also some reduced rates. So now the ministry highlights the system success, you know, noting that it has processed over 70,000 visitors given within just, you know, within just this 3 months or 4 months now. So, and contributed significantly to the state revenue fund. So now they emphasize the improvement such as merging the e-visa with the immigration form to eliminate now the redundant paperwork, you know, introducing an electronic border management system, the EBMS. So that's for real time tracking of entries and exits. So, which is actually, all good, all great, you know, all really, good. Now, but so as much as that sounds, you know, all good, and the government claim that the visa is highly efficient, you know, so there are key issues that has been raised by many stakeholders. One of them is the efficiency of the visa system. The other is also the impact on Namibia's tourism industry, and also the whole question of reciprocity and diplomatic goals. So, and the overall context, economic context of the country. Yeah. So those are some of the things. That's what bring us to what we're going to be discussing as well. So the government claimed the visa system is highly efficient, citing data from May 25, 2025, where 450 passengers from two international flights were processed. That's why now they're citing that were processed actually within 19 to 23 second per traveler. So, and this suggests a streamlined operation, supported by the, as I said, by EBMS and, simplified, e-visa, process. Now, however, so when it comes down to the efficiency of the visa system, however, report from tourists, from now, the tourists themselves and the travel industry, paint a different picture. They absolutely paint a different picture. At Hoseaku Tako International Airport, some travelers have faced waits of up to 3.5 hours. And even with even if they have already this pre-approved e-visas. So, and there has been as much as also the government giving that, they processed a traveler 19 to 23 seconds. So there are also examples where a tourist couple arriving at 1:20. PM, 20 minutes past one at PM was still in the arrival. They were still in the arrival hall at, 5 o'clock. So now that has implication because it's forcing them to cancel their first night lodge booking and find alternative accommodation in Windhoek due to safety concern about driving at night. So they have been waiting for that long. So now tour guide also report increased waiting times with one noting an average of 3 hours to clear immigration for their guests, and compared to under any hour. So compared to that, just an hour previously. So these delays are particularly concerning as they occur during the, now it's occurring during those time. It was a little bit low season, but now, so with higher season, the people fear that the higher season starting, which started in June, could actually increase the situation or exacerbate the situation. So those are some of the things. Maybe we can come back and looking at that. But let me go to one of my guests this morning and see what she has to say. So stay tuned. We will definitely be back.
Omutiha would take Rakaguna, E. Matina, Omjo. Chicago Shafasana, Longishifa, Yai, Shikemoshiwana, E. Moyao, or Tangongotisamweni, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika, Saisanina, Omeguro, Niranitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupiramo, Ikelefem Media House, Goe 23 Meha, Uka Kombanga Nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarajeta tuimu. Datundatu, heari jamanotano, o niyaji. Igel FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Igel FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Igel FM Namibia.
Igel FM. The eye.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Well, a very good morning to you. And And if you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM, and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. So, well, I was trying to call my first guest. This is Mrs. Maura van Rooyen. So far the number is just ringing. So I'm going to give it a little bit of a time and then, try, once more, again. So, for now. So I was talking about that the tour guides also report increased waiting times. And I give an example of one noting an average of 3 hours to clear immigration for their guest, compared to just 1 hour previously. So now these delays are particularly now concerning the stakeholders, and as they occur during, they were worried that, well, if this is happening when we have fewer guests during the low seasons, what happened to when we are at the higher season? This is actually during some at the higher season. This is starting June. The higher season normally started late June, and also getting in July. So yeah, and that's why we not only last week and before that, we have some people who are really complaining about this. So the discrepancy between now the government's claim and on the ground experience suggests implementation challenges. So it suggests that there are challenges, possibly due to insufficient staffing, could be that also maybe technical glitches, as it happened to everybody. It's a new system. Could be those are some of the issues, and also inefficiency in processing the e-visas at immigration counters. So as I said the other time, the other key issues also because of this, the other key issue also coming as a consequence of this is the impact on tourism, on impact on Namibia tourism industry. So tourism is, as we know, it's a cornerstone of Namibia's economy, contributing 6.9% directly to Namibia's GDP in 2023, based on the UN, the UNWTO, and also TACA report. So with really significant growth in recent years. So except when the corona hit everybody. So the sector supports thousands of jobs from large staff to tour operators, and relies heavily on visitors from Europe and of course North America. So many of whom are now, and this is the point, many of whom are now affected by the new visa requirement. So, and the Hospitality Association of HAN, which we also conducted yesterday, but not be able to get someone to talk to. So reported a, just not available for this time for today. So reported a 4% drop in room capacity, in room occupancy. In the first quarter of 2025. So that's, there's a drop, report, that dropped 4%. So with April seeing about 3% of decline compared to the previous year. So this year there has been that decline compared to previous year, compared to last year. So travel companies has noted that 5 to 8% decreases in booking, for May and June. Which is raising now the alarm about the policy economic impact. How does this actually policy impact, the tourism industry? So, yeah. So the long delays at migration create a poor first impression. So definitely, and potentially deterring a repeat visit. If you come in the country and that is your first impression, and definitely word of mouth goes very quickly. And, you know, people who comes here, they recommend, their cousins and family members and friends to go and visit, to come and visit Namibia. If this is their impression, definitely, you would, they might not come again. They repeat a visit, and word of mouth recommendations could be really a problem, because that's what brings people here. So they come here, they experience, they have a good experience in Namibia, and they tell everybody, go to Namibia, go to the Namib Desert. So, we have also a tour operator reported a 7% drop in inquiries. So in inquiry for family tours, likely due to the higher visa fees for families, because it's about 4,800 Namibian dollar or more for a family of four with older children that are above than 11 year old. So yeah, those are issues, and additional cost for travel companies, because, you know, as you're hiring staff to assist with the visa applications and to help your visitors, I mean your tourists that are coming, and covering extended waiting times for guides, you know, and other further strain in this really strain the industries. So, and if these if these trends actually continue, the economic loss could surpass the 100. Now, the 100 million that you say you made through the visa revenue, so that could, if these are the issues, then you may actually cancel that by other costs that you're incurring. So with a 4% decline in tourism potentially costing 600 million or more annually, as it estimated. So yes, let me quickly try again and see if I can get my guest then. So stay tuned. We will be back.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana na longe shifaa ya eshiwite moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro ni randisoma yoe yonge shifaa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahe tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. The eye.
All right, welcome back. Yeah. I got a feedback. She's on the road. Yeah, so she hasn't arrived at the office yet. All right, we will try again. But we have another second guest that we will engage at 8:30. Let's see if we be able to get her as well. So, all right, but let's not turn back, baby. All right. So now, as I said, the other key issues. One was that the impact of on Namibia tourism industry, and also the efficiency of the visa system. So as we looked at that, but the other key issue was also the reciprocity and diplomatic goals. As I said, the visa policy is grounded in the principle of reciprocity. The reciprocity addressing the unfair treatment Namibians face when traveling to countries like those in the Schengen area, which require extensive documentation and higher fees as well. So, for instance, a Schengen visa costs about 90 euro, which is over 1,800. So, and often require bank statement, itineraries, and even travel to South Africa for countries without embassies in Namibia. So the government hopes that imposing now visa requirement will pressure this country actually to relax their rule for Namibians. Now, however, the critics argue that this is unlikely, because the idea is actually that, okay, if you're doing this, we're going to do this to you as well. All right. So, and the idea is that, okay, if we do this, probably you're going to relax your rules for Namibians. So, but the critics argue that this is unlikely, because as many of those of the 33 countries are bound, they are bound by a regional agreement like the Schengen area. So, which are not easily altered, because they are bound by this regional agreement. This cannot be easily altered, cannot be easily changed. So international policy experts have called these expectation unrealistic. So they are suggesting that the policy may not actually achieve its diplomatic objectives. So it may disadvantage you. So because the policy now affects tourists, it would affect tourists who have no influence over their government. They have no influence over their government's visa regulations, and potentially now you are alienating a certain key demographic, from your tourists. So the travel industry argues that the tit for tat approach could harm the 100,000 Namibian who rely on tourism for their livelihood, while also benefiting only the small number of Namibian who can afford international travel. Not all of us can be able to do that. So this raises an ethical question about whether the policy unfairly, target visitors to achieve a political goal that may be unattainable. So, is that the case? This goal may not be attainable, but then you actually put at harm the 100,000 Namibian who rely on tourism for their livelihood. So that's a question. That's a fair question as well to ask. So the other things then, the other key issue maybe that we can also look at is the communication and transparency in terms of this. The Ministry of Home Affairs has actively promoted the visa system, providing data and refuting allegation of inefficiency. So as we have seen, as I have indicated earlier on, such as those are published also by the Spotlighting Namibia. So they have also collaborated with the travel industries. It's not as if they are completely, in isolation. So they have collaborated with the travel industry to address issues such as optimizing the online visa portal and also revising information sheet with those with frequent ask questions. So, but there is also a lack of from the ministry. There's also a lack of public acknowledgement of the reported delays, and those are the things that we wanted to find out, and also engage the executive director of the ministry in it today on today's show. That lack of acknowledgement, that lack of public acknowledgement of the reported delays actually erode trust among the stakeholders. So it risk eroding the trust among the stakeholders. So now, for example, the tourists have complained about unclear requirements. There were unclear requirements, such as a proof of financial means, the technical issues with the online application process. Those are some of the things. Now, including the website outages, sometimes and input errors that cannot be corrected. If something you enter and the system have a problem actually for retracking. If you want to delete that, it doesn't do that. It doesn't have that options. So there's some, application process that on the system that are problematics. Now, improved communication, such as regular update, on progress and clear instructions for travelers, could help manage also the expectation and also reducing this frustration. All right. So now, I think if you'll have to look at that in a broader context, in Namibia, is that Namibia's tourism sector is the whole idea when we bring it here is because this is a very important sector. It's a critical driver of economic growth, and particularly when it comes to rural area where lodges and tour operators provide jobs. So now the country's reputation also, our reputation for hospitality and natural beauty, from the Namib Desert to Etosha National Park, These are the places that attract visitors worldwide. So, and if we come up with, and this is maybe the president also saying, if you come up with a law that prevent that, get rid of those, you know? And that's the emphasis of the president. However, now the new visa policy actually risk undermining this reputation, at a time when the sector now at this point in time is still actually recovering. You know, we're still recovering from that impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. So the reported decline in the bookings and occupancy rate could have ripple effect. They could have ripple effect affecting not just tourism businesses, but also related sectors like hospitality and transport. You know, the transporters as well. So the policy also reflects reflect Namibia's broader push for and send for sovereignty. So when it comes now to the issue of reciprocity, so and fairness in international relationships. So one can understand that as well. So the government's emphasis on reciprocities, it really highlights the challenges faced by Namibia seeking to travel abroad. And we got to do something, isn't it? And that's an issue when it comes to Namibian, you know, travel abroad, often navigating costly and complex visa processes. So, yeah, that's the issue. That's also on one hand. But however, the economic trade-off is very significant. So as tourism account for substantial portion of foreign exchange earnings. So now the balancing these diplomatic goals with economic realities, I think that's what require a careful consideration. And we will make sure that we find out that. So that how do we balance diplomatic goals with economic realities that our industry, the tourism industry is experiencing because of this issue. So yeah, that's what needs actually requires a careful consideration. And especially also given the global trend where visa requirement can deter travelers. So, and that's actually noted in a 2024 study on the impact of visa types on the international tourism. So yeah, and so Namibia's new visa on arrival system represent a bold move, I think, in my opinion, a bold move toward diplomatic fairness. So we have to say, but its implementation has really sparked significant challenges. So, while the government highlights its success in generating revenue and processing travelers, the reported delays and declining bookings, I think raised a concern about its impact on tourism and a vital economic sector, which is actually a vital economic sector. So now the principle of reciprocity is understandable. It's really understandable and understand that, but its effectiveness remain now uncertain, potentially harming Namibia's reputation without, you know, achieving diplomatic goals as we looked at. So by addressing inefficiency, improving communications and investing in tourism, you know, the government can ensure can ensure that Namibia remain a welcoming decision. I mean, destination, not a decision, welcoming destination for our visitors. So while also pursuing now, you know, that broader objectives, maybe the government want. So, yeah. So now, let me quickly, you know, also get to my second guest and see if that's a day. Is that the day of disappointment all over? So let's quickly stay tuned. Definitely, we'll be back in a sec.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, utekirwa kaguna, ii matina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana na longe shifaa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Ii moya wo.
Ota ingomboti samwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo ni randito mwa yoe, yonge shifaa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwa shifareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahi tatu imu. Datu ndatu, hiyari hamano tano, oni haji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Okay, welcome back. And so we continue. And if you're just tuning in, you are on Eagle FM. And this is Unpacking the Day. So now we when Namibia launched its new visa, something that we have been talking about, the new visa on arrival system, on April 1st, 2025, official heralded it as a transformative milestone. Since its launch, the system has reportedly brought in over 70,000 new arrival and generated more than 100 million in revenue. That is a big boost for the country coffer, but as we all know, numbers don't always tell the whole story. So, but behind these impressive statistics, there is a growing unease among those who depend on tourism for their livelihood. Yeah. Tour operators, industry insiders are sounding the alarm. So travelers are facing airport delays of up to maybe 3 hours. Costs are creeping up. And booking are starting to drop. For many, the question is not just whether the new system is working. It is whether it is actually making things harder for the very people it was supposed to help. So now, to help understand what is really happening beyond the statistic. I'm joined now by Ms. Hildegard Jochelson, the marketing manager at the Ati Holidays. Good morning, Ms. Hildegard. I just didn't pronounce your surname right.
That's perfectly fine. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm very, 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 very well. So welcome to Unpacking the Day. So now let me start with my first let's just get into it now. So now this new system, as I explained in the introductions, how this new visa setup changed the way you now your organization run your tours, like has it made a planning or booking much more different from what you used to do or trickier for you now? Or how has it made any change in how you do things?
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely added a layer of complexity.
Yeah.
So where we used to confirm trips and move straight into excitement and the planning, we now spend a lot of time helping guests navigate the visa process, guiding them with it.
So that means that, you know, you dedicated even maybe a staff or staffs actually to help in maybe having your visitors or your tourists, how do they have to fill in the application and things like that?
Yes, we've designated certain staff members to help answer complicated visa questions or just to stay on the phone with our guests to help them guide them through the visa process.
Yeah, and that would definitely bring some extra cost, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, precisely.
Yeah. Now, what are your clients saying about the online visa process? Are they finding it easy? I mean, you mentioned that you're helping them. Are they really find it, you know, difficult? What, some maybe you're helping, some you may not, but those who comes now, what are they saying about the online visa process?
It's a real mixed bag. So some clients manage just fine, but quite a few struggle, either because there's unclear instructions or technical glitches. And it's especially tricky for older travelers or anyone not confident with online systems.
So many
of our clients fall into that bracket. They're a bit older, and we need to often assist them step by step.
Yeah, so your some of your clientele actually are older people, and they are not so conversant when it comes to online, when it comes to internet.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, if the visa process feels a bit too complicated or frustrating, then some travelers will simply look elsewhere.
Yeah. So now, have you seen fewer people or fewer visitor booking trips since the visa rules kicked in, depending from now, if you have some record of that, maybe from places like Europe or US, or is it still steady or is it still just the same?
Well, so far we haven't seen a big drop in bookings.
Yeah.
But this will almost certainly change if the current arrival delays at immigration aren't resolved soon. Because many of our travelers who've already arrived and had to face the long queues have been complaining about this, and it's sort of souring their first impression of Namibia. Some have had to wait up to 3 hours to clear immigration, and that's obviously not the welcome we want to give. Word of mouth really matters, and if the first impression is frustrating, it will eventually affect demand. Also, many of our travelers had already booked their holiday before the new visa regulation was implemented.
That complicated matters when they arrive, and then they have to go through all this.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So what is the biggest grumble you are hearing from tourists about this visa system? What is the biggest one? A delay, cost, or something else?
It's mostly delays, definitely. People are anxious about not knowing how long they'll have to wait at immigration, especially if they're a bit older or they're traveling with their families. It can be a bit more frustrating than if it's just individuals traveling. It affects them more.
Yeah. So the visa fee is around 1,600 for most people. So what do you think about that price? And do your clients feel it is worth it?
Namibia is a very high-value destination, and so most travelers are willing to pay a visa fee, as long as the process is smooth and fast. But at 1,600, people obviously expect a certain standard, and when the experience feels a bit inconsistent or unclear, then that price starts to feel less justified, and that's when the complaints come in.
Yeah. So now, as you're saying, you with the complaints that you're receiving. So, what do you think the government could do to help tour operators, agency like yours, while still keeping these visa rules in place?
Well, they could definitely improve immigration efficiency and friendliness.
Mm.
Even though there have been some real improvements,
the
arrival experience is still really slow. And guests tend to feel a bit stressed and unwelcome. Also, the mandatory luggage scanning at the exit also creates major bottlenecks. So maybe we could add more scanners, at least two more, to ease the backlog a bit, because they're already waiting at immigration, and then they have that extra scanning of the luggage.
Mm.
So in the end, it ends up being a lot of time that they spend at the airport.
Yeah. Has there any opportunity where you probably chat with the Ministry of Home Affairs about this? Maybe tell them what is working and what is not working.
Yes, so we've been actively engaging with TASA, so that's the Tour and Safari Association of Namibia, since the beginning of the new visa program. So we, along with TASA, send weekly reports to the ministry showing exactly how long it takes for our guests to get through immigration at the Ziyo Kotako. And for the busy lunchtime flights, it's still averaging around an hour and 40 minutes.
All right.
But on a positive note, TASA has built a really strong relationship with the ministry.
Mm.
And there have been some serious improvements, especially with the online applications and payment system.
Mm.
But yeah, it's just the arrival delays that need to be worked on.
Yeah. So, and is there anything now, maybe not that, that's beyond maybe the ministry's operations. Is there anything you yourself that are doing to smooth out these visa hassles for the tourists and keep the industry actually more stronger? So is there anything from your side?
To be honest, there's not a lot that we can do when it comes to the visa system itself.
Yeah.
But what we can do and what we are doing is just guiding our guests through the process.
Yeah.
Understanding it really well, helping them understand what's required. And beyond that, we're continuing to market Namibia as a destination that's absolutely worth the extra effort.
All right, no, that's good. So, is you said there is some improvement from the ministry side. Is there anything good coming out of this visa, like any wins or happy surprises you have noticed?
You know, we haven't seen any direct benefits just yet.
Yeah.
But if the visa revenue is being used wisely, and if the whole process becomes more efficient, then having reciprocal visa terms isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Mm.
In principle, it's fair. And what would really make a difference is seeing how the revenue is being used. So in education, health, in alleviating poverty in Namibia, that would give the visa cost real value.
Yeah, no, that's makes sense. So what would you say now to someone out there who is thinking twice maybe of visiting Namibia because of the visa process?
I'd say don't let the visa process put you off. Namibia is absolutely worth it. The landscapes, the unique desert-adapted wildlife, the open spaces and the people, it's all truly unforgettable. So yes, the visa process can seem a bit bumpy, but with the right support from your tour operator, it's completely manageable.
All right. So anything else that you find, you think that is very important for our listeners to know, or maybe for the tourists that find themselves in Namibia, that you would like to share? Any other final words that you would like to say to our listeners?
Well, I think planning their trip and applying for the visa online is the best approach in case there's any more delays at immigration. if you have to apply in person. But other than that, I think that's all, Mike.
Yeah. No, thank you very much, Miss Hildegard. Next time I get your surname right. So,
thank you for
making time to talk to us and to our listeners.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, well, that Miss Hildegard Josephson. Okay, this time I got it right. So the marketing manager at the Ati Holidays, really just giving us the what is on the ground, the experience on the ground, which at this point in time, so it's a new system as we go. On that might be improved, and also she indicated there's already an improvement and there's a willingness from the ministry as well to discuss the issues that operators, guiders and all that are experiencing. So yeah, in the end that could be that would help the sector to stay strong as it has been for many years. So, well, you're most welcome to come through. Our telephone number is 08333 66091. So you're most welcome coming through and have your share. So yes, and we stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudia, utekirwa kaguna, imatina, omjo. Chikawa shafa sana na longe shifa, ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao, ota ingongoti samwene. Anage shifa, ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro, nirandisoma, yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo, Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki, uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onora heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. And if you're just joining us now, our time is about 48 minutes past the hour of 8. And the program starts at 7:30 and we end at 9:30. I'm Mike Oshovedi. So we just had an interview with Miss Hildegard, and I tried Van Rooyen as well, But up to now, her phone is just ringing. Okay. Yes. So definitely this is a very important, as a very important sector. It's a very critical driver of our economic growth. And as I said, particularly for our rural areas where lodges and tour operators provide jobs. So it is very important that we treat this as important and be able to do things and be able to sort things that would help, that would not jeopardize the livelihood of over 100,000 people that depend on this source of incomes. So yes, there are things that she have highlighted. And definitely there are challenges, there are glitches, but that can be solved.
Eagle FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Oshoveli.
Good morning, Uncle Bona. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm always fine.
Good. Let's begin when we are waiting for your guest, the other guest.
Yeah, no. I have tried a couple of times now, but it's just ringing. But you can go on. Yeah.
So, thank you very much for that system.
Yeah.
With the efficiency and the effectiveness that is being put in. I know that the ministry has been a headache for some many years, not only in terms of the system itself, the system actually, also the nature of the work that people do there.
Yeah.
And, sometimes the customs, the changing, if you are to work in that kind of environment, there is also a need to address some of this behavior change.
Yeah.
And, I am so much accustomed, I used to be accustomed to home affairs, and I have a bit of experience, internal and externally.
Okay.
Even when they crafted up this, the custom service charter.
Yeah.
The one that really brought some positive change, which also came with this turnaround strategy that was implemented a few years back. I hope they are still reaping the fruits of that. So if it is true, our guest said that yes, there are room for improvement and they are working on that. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's very good enough. So, and I'm sure that, the tourists, yes, we say they have processed over, 7,000. What did you say?
Yeah, no, up so far since the enforcement of the system, about 70,000. Yeah.
That's a lot of numbers, because when you walk around, you see that in almost every community area there, especially in the urban area, you see tourists coming in.
Yeah.
And they stroll around, they move around. So the only challenge perhaps is that, the tourists, they don't normally stay here. They just walk 2-3 days and then off they go.
Yeah.
And then they want to experience the reality of Namibia.
Yeah.
In the villages and all these other things. If we can just be so much conscious and diligent enough to bring some establishment, village kind of tourism kind of establishment that can really attract the tourists. And we are told there, your guest said, Namibia is a very wonderful destination for tourists.
Yeah, no, it's a sector that has a huge potential, really, for economic growth, yeah.
The other potential that we have is in the village tourism that has been spoken along by Ms. Mutombo some years back. Are we really exploring that concept? So people should come up with concept notes to really redirect the efforts so that even this big industry here, hotels and all these things, because they have got a part to play to facilitate some of this village tourism.
I'm thinking of, now that you mentioned that, something just come to my mind, thinking of having every region, but I'm not talking just in terms of, I'm not now talking in terms of region, like political region. So I'm talking like, Owambo, Kavango, in terms of, have this unique, cultural artifacts. If we can develop some kind of local museum, I know that we want to have. And people would want, and they will see, okay, if I go to that, to that region, there is museum where I can go and be able to learn what happened in this region. Even certain things that are in Windhoek and it belong to, let's say, for example, belong to the South. Give it to the South so that when people comes there, they can learn, what happened in the South and all that.
Cultural heritage. You see, you are actually talking. And we know very well that even maybe before when you come from Onantuni or even Otavi there, I'm so sure there were some kind of, I don't know whether you call this sculpture, how do you call this sculpture in art?
Yeah.
The artist and all these things. For Nehare, when you are coming, you see that is the picture that you see welcoming you. And these are our heritage, our cultural heritage, and all these things, the Zoom that you are talking about. All these sites, they can be revived. Because for example, we have to get some of our artifacts from Europe and all these things. And we can also come up with our own, symbolizing our own identity, our own cultural realities and things like that. So if we can now diversify our effort in those areas that you are talking about, I'm sure more tourism will be coming. And as they apply, and even our tour guys, those who are transporting them from airport and all these satellites, whatever they call them. So we definitely have a lot of camping sites in the rural areas where they know before they come here, they know already that, yes, in this village, in this other region, we have these kind of things. And then in that manner, we can also benefit more because the notion of alleviating poverty, the millions that you just mentioned, it's a lot of money. If we can also generate it on that area, and then it's trickled down with the facilitation of these big hotels and associations.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they help us to alleviate more of poverty? But, Mike, thank you very much for the topic.
Yeah.
I'm now happy that Home Affairs is doing the best work. And I think many other line ministries and all these things, they need to facilitate some of these things because every ministry or line agency, they have got a stake on that one.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
No, thanks for coming through, Uncle Bona.
Yes.
Okay, great. Our telephone number, it's 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. You're most welcome to come through and have your say overall on just on the visa system, on arrival, visa on arrival system. So you most welcome to come through as well and have your, it has been actually 3 months or 4 months so far. There are some, as I said, the reasons why we bring it here. So there has been people who have, complaining about the, delays and some other issues that, the team stakeholder on the ground experience. And, we wanted to have some kind of that evaluations of maybe you're a trust and you are a tourist and you are in this country and you can hear us. So, you can then, call us
give us a call and talk to us about, you know, what is happening. Yeah. So what your experience is, not what happening. What is your experience is of this e-visa in Namibia. So, all right. Our telephone number again. Oh, wait. 333-66-091. So you definitely welcome to have your opinion and your take of what we have discussed so far.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political, or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, good morning. And if you're just joining us, a very good morning to you. And you are in the company of Eagle FM and you're tuning in Unpacking the Day. Yeah, just to, I have been calling Miss Van Rooyen. So just to indicate that she has actually called and she indicated that she had some family issues this morning. And that's why she couldn't, be able to answer the phone and be able to do the interview. So just in case someone thinking, she didn't, you know, all right. So. Yeah. So that's, she got back to me and told me that that's the issue. All right. Our time is about 9 o'clock. Opticop. Okay. So you are still welcome to come through and have your saying, have your take on arrival, visa on arrival system. Yeah. Our telephone number again, 0833-66-091. So do come through and have your take, have your contribution as well. So, and we still have about 30 minutes before we, come to the end of our show today, of our program today. So, but before that, let's, maybe something that we can also look at. Now, one thing I want to look at, it's something the president always talked about. She has been insisting that we have uranium. Why can't we have a nuclear energy? Why can't we have a nuclear power, a nuclear power plant in Namibia? Now, there is a recent article, looking at Africa's nuclear plants are serrelate with World Bank and the international agency, how do you call it? The International Atomic Agency. Yeah. So the IAEA. So now with their backing. So now there is that nuclear plant accelerate with the World Bank and with the International Atomic Energy Agency. So, that article highlight a major shift in how Africa is approaching energy challenges. So at the Nuclear Energy Innovation Summit, in June, 2025, Rafael Marino Grossi, who is the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency, described nuclear power as a carbon dioxide free, sustainable option that is becoming realistic for African nations. So, Now, this optimism come from a groundbreaking agreement signed in June 26, 2025 between now the Atomic Energy Agency and the World Bank. So now lifting now barriers to supporting nuclear energy in developing countries. So it has signed that agreement, which is actually lifting those barriers to supporting the nuclear energy in developing countries.
Good FM, welcome to Unpacking the Day. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, sir.
How are you?
No, I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing this morning, sir?
We are good. I'm always fine, you know.
That's great. Mm. Yeah. Yes, I just want also to contributing to the issue of visa or what? Traveling.
Visa on arrival, yeah. System,
yeah. Mm. On arrival. Mm. Yeah, I think from the look of things, the world having a lot of happening, and if people are coming in that manner, there is a lot of aspect that being a concern of the immigration officer. Mm. It's not everybody coming to Namibia having one invitation of visiting as a tourism to come explore and so on. There is a lot of agenda in different people from different background or different part of the world.
Mm.
Therefore, if we can just say no interrogation and the holding of try to assessing your background back home and so on, it's a delay and also stressful and to look at it is unnecessary. I think we can end up jeopardizing our security.
Mm, I think something I didn't even thought about. Actually, yeah, we live in the world of terrorism. Security, as you mentioned it. So if a person I can just feel this online and I only come to be assessed in your country, not from the country of origin. Then that could become a security threat.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. Therefore, this visa on arrival, we should just also be patient because, the time of applying the visa, you also having time to wait for the response of your visa to be approved wherever you apply to. And then, if you come in, you pump in, then you want a visa on arrival to be screened, just also have a time.
Mm.
To give official their own time so that they can investigate thoroughly.
Yeah.
To make sure that a necessity information and then sensitivity information have to be looked at us so that we can secure our border.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, the world today, you can see how issue of security and then the coup happening. We have to be very, very careful. If we are thinking that it's unfair treatment and so on, where the unfairness are practiced or take place, that one we are not supporting it. We definitely condemn it. People they should be treated with fair.
Yeah.
But the safety, it should be also one of the great concern. We should look at it. So that we can secure our country. We know that people that are coming in our country, they are not having intention of any irregularity to come and practice here and so on and so on.
Yeah. Because we could be caught up in the revenue that we are generating. It seems that, okay, that's easy for this, let's create a massive people coming to Namibia. It make it easy for people to come to Namibia, but in making it easy for people to come to Namibia, it's also making it easy to become insecurity, you know, hump.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think that's a very, very good point. And that's the reason. Yesterday, I have really tried to I even sent messages to the ED, he hasn't replied at all. I'm wondering if he's in the country or not. So those are some of the things that I wanted to talk to him, and and I think he probably would respond at one point because I left messages on his phone. So, but those are really, really important aspect that we need to look at.
Because if we make our country to that manner, we just even somebody, the many people that are the members of insurgency somewhere, those are like you mentioned of terrorists, for example.
Yeah.
Some people they are just sending in is a spy to come in and they just pump up and then you don't know.
Yeah.
We have an issue of oil issue in Namibia today. Then many of the superpower, they send their own members of their organization, and those rich company, they are sending their missionary, they are sending their people to come and establish themselves. Yeah, you just end the, you see the conflict is starting from nowhere. And then because you are not screening people to know really for which institution this person are working for, from which organization this person are belong. Even screening, it's a very necessary for the state security, very, very important. And therefore, I'm urging our the border guard and especially the port entry of the Namport and then the airport to make sure they are screening the people to the extent that to make sure that our safety and security it is guaranteed is in their hands. Therefore, they should work hard to make sure that, that they are not letting people to come here. Those are that are not that are going to put our security in jeopardy.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the take off for the Comrade Jimmy Tao. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you for calling, man. All right.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah, definitely it's an excellent point. Security, safety and security should be also a priority. We shouldn't be just driven by the revenue that is coming from that. But do we have also the higher tech technology that that really can do a good work when it comes to safety and security? So those are some of the questions, and as I said, we will continue to look into that and get the right people to answer some of those questions. Yeah. So yeah, no, please do come through. And have your opinion. As I said, there are angles that we, that even, you know, some sectors that we looked at today, maybe people that we have interviewed that, that maybe they are not looking at. And like, as I said, safety and security, that's a really a bang. So yeah, what do you think? Maybe there are another area that we need to look at and pay attention to as much as we celebrate, which we're moving in that direction. We're moving in that direction. And we rather start now than later than never. So we actually, as the world moving in that direction, we should work, we should, be on par with the world. So we are moving in that direction. So the question is that, are we ready? Are we prepared? And have we, you know, have we done everything? Have we done due diligence, and prepared, with what we have taken? So that's the question. So, and have we looked at every aspect that, that does not put our country into jeopardy, or even our economic, in our economy into jeopardy. So that's, yeah. So please do come through. Our telephone number is 08-333-66-091, 08-333-66-091. Yeah, there was, what is his name? I can't remember his name. So he also complained about this. And where are you? You're the one who actually brought up this, and I said, well, I will look into that. What is his name? I can't remember his name. All right, but you're welcome. Please do come through, and have your contributions. All right. So now I was talking about the
the nuclear energy, especially the nuclear power plants becoming an option that a realistic option for African nations. So, as I said, the optimism was stemmed from the groundbreaking agreement which was signed on June 26, 2025 between now the Atomic Energy Agency and the World Bank. This is now to lifting the barriers to supporting nuclear energy in developing countries. So now this is very important. I think we need to think to move in that direction, because it is very important, because nearly 600 million Africans, you know, lack a reliable electricity, and we demand reliable electricity, and with the demand actually expected to double by 2035. So the demand of electricity is expected actually by 2035 to double. So, and nuclear power is seen as a way to provide now that stable, you know, baseload energy for industries, hospitals, and homes. So now for Namibia, a country rich in uranium, this is a change. This is actually a chance to rethink how we power our future. So there is this realistic option now. There are key issues that are raised in the article that are worth looking at and see how Namibia fit into some of these issues. So one of that, Namibia's nuclear ambitions, where do we stand in terms of that, and the benefits of nuclear energy for Namibia? Why nuclear energy is so appealing? Why should we explore that options, and the significant challenge the challenge that we need to address for us to be able to acquire a nuclear power plant. So now let's start with our ambition. Okay, Namibia is we are no stranger really to the nuclear conversation. We are not. As one of the world's top uranium producers, we have been mining these resources for decades, exporting it to power plants globally, so which we don't have ourselves. So, but now there is this growing interest in using our uranium to generate electricity here at home, and President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah is pushing that. So in April 2025, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah announced that Namibia will begin discussing of developing a nuclear plant this financial year. I'm literally quoting her, you know, this financial year. I'm not saying that. That's what she said. So well, there are no specific timeline or project detail have been confirmed, but this signal a serious intent, you know, to diversify our energy mix. It's really signaling that intent. So, and it's not just something the president said, but there has been recent development. So, and recent development show Namibia exploring partnership to make this a reality. We have seen this. In January 2025, President Nangolo Mbumba sought investment from China to boost our role in the global clear energy push. And in June 2025, Nano, the nuclear energy, a US-based company, signed a memorandum of understanding with the Namibia Industrial Development Development Agency, DINDA, NIDA, you know, yeah, in short, NIDA, yeah, to develop our domestic nuclear fuel supply chain. So there has been actually development in it towards what the president actually asked. So these are, I think, there is also a preliminary agreement with Russian Rosatom, which has partnership with at least 20 African countries already. So these moves suggest that Namibia is looking to balance. We're looking at to balance actually international partnership while also leveraging our uranium wealth. So now, one option on the table is the small modular reactors, the SMRs, so which are smaller, more flexible, and potentially cheaper than the traditional nuclear plants. So countries like Ghana and Rwanda are also exploring the small modular reactor. So and they could be good fit. They could be a good fit for Namibia's relatively small energy grid. This smaller modular react that could be really a good fit for Namibia's relatively small energy grid. So, now, for example, a simple, see some numbers there. A single 300 megawatt small modular reactor could generate 2,016 gigawatt annually. So meeting 54, and that would meet about 54%, 54% of our current electricity demand. So if you have two such reactor, that could produce 372% of our needs. So allowing us now to export surplus power to our neighbors, maybe to our neighbors like Botswana, because we had also discussion with Botswana, you know, and Angola. So to our neighbors. Now, so of course we have been discussing what would be the benefit, why nuclear energy is so appealing, especially for Namibia. First is energy security. Okay. It's energy security. Namibia currently import, how much do we import the electricity that we import? We import close to 60 to 70% of our electricity, and mostly from South Africa. Yeah. So, and this cost us dearly. It cost us dearly, $5 billion in 2023 alone. So, and leave us vulnerable to supply disruptions, you know, if they decided to, hey, we no longer be able to do this. We will definitely left hanging. So the nuclear power could provide a stable domestic source of energy, reducing our reliance on import. So, and imagine not worrying about power cuts, eh? Now, during the peak demand or price hikes from foreign suppliers. So that's the benefit that one of the benefit that having a nuclear plant would bring. The second is economic growth. Okay. Building a nuclear industries could create thousands of jobs, of course, and when it comes to constructing and operation and maintenance, so you will have a really, you will be able to create a lot of jobs. And like other sectors as well, because you need construction. And then when it comes to operation and maintenance, you have so many people that are involved. So it would also allow us to add value to our uranium by processing it here locally. And this is what the president wants. So rather than just, you know, exporting raw ore. So the Namibia Economist estimates that a nuclear plant could stimulate infrastructure development and technology advancement as well, which then position Namibia as a regional energy hump. All right? So, and the other benefit of nuclear energy is the environmental benefit. Nuclear power is low carbon energy source and producing zero emission during the operations. So the International Energy Agency highlights it as one of the world's largest source of low carbon electricity. So for Namibia then, which is already, you know, grappling with climate change impact like droughts and so nuclear energy could help us reduce our carbon footprints and meet the global climate goals that each country is expected to, you know, to contribute. So yeah, there are really some benefits that will come with definitely that. So our time is about 25 minutes past the hour of nine. So you're most welcome to come through. We still have about 5 minutes. If you want to contribute either to what I'm talking now or to what we talked earlier on, the visa on arrival system. So you're most welcome to come through. So yeah, those are the benefits, some benefits in energy security, you know, which actually reduces reliance on imported electricity, ensuring a stable power for homes and business in Namibia. And then you have the economic growth. You create jobs, boost infrastructure, add value to uranium resources. So, and then the environmental sustainability. So that provide a low carbon energy and helping combat climate change. So, but, you know that, there's always a but on this show. There is always a but, okay? So, but the nuclear energy is not a magic bullet, all right? It's not a magic bullet. So, there are, the article also indicated there are significant challenges. There are significant challenges Africa need to address, including Namibia. So one of them is actually higher cost. The higher cost, a nuclear plant require massive investment, often billions of dollars. Now, take, for example, Egypt, El Dabar plant. Okay. For example, cost $25 billion. Now, with 85 financed by the Russian loan. Okay. So, and there's delays and cost overruns are common, and critics warn that such project could deepen actually debt, could also contribute to debt burden. So, yeah. So those are some of the things. We still have 3 minutes. There was someone coming through. So please do come through if you want to still, come through. You still have 3 minutes and Helmut can give us two more. So, 833-66091. So those are some of the challenge, so that the delays and the cost normally overrun, you know, those are the common, you know, issues, and many critics would say that, would warn that such projects could actually then deepen your debt, burden. So, and for Namibia, definitely for Namibia, that could be an issue with a smaller economy, taking on such debt, could be risky and, likely, it's like buying a it's like buying a fancy car on a loan. The loan you are not sure you can repay. So you have this fancy car, but you know, you are not be able to repay the premium. So now the second challenge is technological dependence. So most African nuclear projects rely on foreign technology, with Russia and the other country and China dominating the market. So over 90% of new reactors worldwide are from starting already from 2017 to 2024 were built by these countries, you know, Russia and China. So Namibia, we already have some partnership with with Russia, Satom, Rosatom, and also China raised concern about long-term dependence on foreign expertise. So a fuel and maintenance. So now the issue is that, you know, those technical dependency then become that would now become a concern, that you would have this long-term dependence on the foreign expertise and fuel and maintenance. So it is like actually, well, it's like, you know, what is the example? It's like renting a house. You are never fully in control. So someone else is actually, you know, it's your house, but you know, someone else actually full control. Yeah. And then the third challenge is security risk, nuclear facility need military level. They need that military level security to prevent accident or attacks. You know, and given Namibia's relatively stable, and but resource constrained environment, this could actually stretch our capabilities. So, and then the fourth is a waste management. So the nuclear power generate a radioactive waste that must be stored safely for thousands of years. So Namibia would need a strong system to handle this, which is not a small task. So think of it like, you know, So that's another challenge. Okay.
Very good morning.
Oh, are you people not calling us?
No, it's okay. We come to the end of the show, the end of the program. Yeah, I just could be sometimes something urgent. Yeah.
I'll talk about energy supply.
Yeah, no, we're on the other side of the time. So yes, tomorrow. Yes. All right.
It's okay.
All right. All right. And finally, the workforce. The workforce development. So the nuclear energy requires a higher skilled workforce, and Namibia would need to invest heavily in education and training to build local expertise rather than relying on the foreign workers. So those are the challenge, higher cost and also technical dependency and security risk and waste management and workforce development. Those are some of the of the challenges that we have to bear in mind. So and basically that brings us to the end of the show this morning. And let's book that time again from 7:30 to 9:30 tomorrow. At the same time here on Eagle FM. And let me leave you in the safest hand of Mr. Helmut, coming up with Mind the Gap.
And stay tuned and stay connected to Eagle FM for other programs that are coming your way throughout the day. And make sure that you download the Eagle FM application for you to remain connected in areas where the frequency cannot be heard at this point in time. So, all right, for me, Michael Chevalier, I wish you a very good day. And those who have been listening, thank you for those who come through and contributed on the show. This is your show. That's basically part of what we do. So those who are listening, please tell the next person, and she will tell, or he tell the next and the next. And that's how we will spread the message. From me, Mike Oshaveni, have a great day and goodbye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next week.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwani. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka. Opone ushendi finawa nukumuna oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe mbali hea di nola natu. Heali bali no hea ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafelane Eagle FM VI.